This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Hello, everyone. This is Walter Yerkew of 7-5 Radio. How is everybody today? Scoop is still on that secret government project. He's going to be out again today. He'll probably be out for another month or two. He must really be working for something really secretive, but he'll be back pretty
soon.
I have Jay in the studio with me today. How's Jay today?
Jay's doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. You haven't, lit nobody on fire or anything in the last week, have you?
No, not this week.
I just know that story from last week I still did a big grin on my face every time I think about it.
I've been hearing stuff on Twitter and Facebook and stuff about jokes about that and serious stuff about that, and yeah, it was something else. It was something else. It worked better than Mace, probably.
Oh yeah, and a lot of black criminals are pyromaniacs, so that probably put more fear in him than pulling a gun on him. Throwing the gasoline on him, he probably automatically knew, uh-oh, this is about to get real.
Yeah, well, you know, his face was a Kodak moment when I doused him. And, I don't think he'll walk up on anybody in the gas station again.
Yeah, it was not his day. He did not know who he was messing with. You know, ex-cop, in down the bad road, ex-con and ex-cop. It's like, that's a double whammy. It's like, you're done. You're screwed. It's like kicking a box of tarantulas.
This guy just, he was in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong guy. And hopefully, if he messes with anybody else, somebody else will finish him off. Because we don't need that kind of nonsense. Let's see what's going on in Jay's life these days. You know, I haven't talked to you in about a month. About 3 weeks ago, I missed the show with you because I got home late and my what do you call it? The call service, my wake up service, didn't call me until 11 Eastern instead of they just called me an hour late. And I tried to get on. I had 5 minutes, but the show was already in commercial ending, and I never got on. But I thank you on the air for covering for me for that whole hour all by yourself.
Hey, anything for you and Scoop. Anything for you and Scoop. You guys are all right. And I like having a chance to come on the show, and I got to talk about whatever I wanted to. So it was all good. It was all good, man. And as far as me, same thing. Trying to get along, trying to fight evil, and trying to secure the existence of my people and a future for white children. You know, same old crap.
Just trying to live the dream, man. Just trying to live the dream. We have a few things that I'd like to bring up today. Number one was there was an interesting reception in Washington last night. Actually, it was about 6 or 7 hours ago. The president and the first lady met the released political prisoners that came back from North Korea. That's something that some past presidents didn't do, was wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go meet some people. Mr. Trump and Mrs. Trump said that the prisoners were in, the released prisoners were enjoying their freedom, and they talked to them on the plane for a little bit before they went out to Bethesda to get looked over medically. They said they were in good spirits. They're happy to be home, happy to be away out of North Korea. Some of them said they had some bad experiences over there. Well, you know, no doubt about that. And proud of our president and the first lady to go meet these people at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's something they didn't have to do. and he extended himself. And I think we're headed in the right direction with this North Korea character. Still don't trust him, and I'm sure Mr. Trump doesn't trust him either. This Kim Jong-un, dumb duck, whatever his name is, he's a crackpot. And hopefully Mr. Trump knows how to deal with a crackpot. Your thoughts, Jay?
Yeah. The Korea, you know, I'm not, you know, I have my own opinions on Trump, but you know what? He got a bunch of people out of jail in a North Korean prison, so fine. Whatever it took, if it was him getting them all out, fine. That was a good thing. Oh. So I'm not going to crap on that none. And North Korean government's like this weird cult that surrounds the Kim family that's communist. It's strange, but you know one thing. Something went wrong. Something went bad in his backyard for him to open up like that. The Koreans never open up and have meetings and do things like that. Makes me think something went wrong. Something went wrong in his backyard. I don't know what, but something he needs help with, and he can't handle all the sanctions anymore. And so he's throwing the olive branch out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. There was a very quick change in North Korea's ways. They were just shooting missiles off out into the Sea of Japan and out into the Pacific. And, you know, it was getting, you know, ridiculous there for a while. And Mr. Trump stepped up and just called him out on it. You know, keep on doing it. Go ahead. Keep shooting them out there. We have answers for you. Try to get a little closer to us and we'll have an answer for you. And then within a month or so, this fella and Pompeo, they talked. Mr. Pompeo went over there, I guess, kind of secretive, which is just fine by me. I mean, you know, we're the American people that elected these people to do a job. We don't need to know everything. And I'm glad that this may be working out. But again, you know, don't trust the guy. You never know what he's got up his sleeve. Like you said, something's going on over there. You know, who knows? We don't know why he made such. But to touch on when he met the South Korea prime minister, I mean, that was kind of, I don't know, their meeting over there at the DMZ was a little bit mushy. You know, it wasn't even political. It looked like, you know, two old friends getting back together that, you know, kissing each other on the cheek and holding hands and jumping over the borders in and out, North and South Korea. That was kind of odd, but
I'd have to agree with you. I'd say so. It's kind of a surreal moment to see those guys acting like that right there at the border. Considering one time two Americans were killed, and we almost went to war over trying to cut a tree down at that location in like 1952. To see him palling around, acting nice like that, something's up, something happened in his backyard. I don't know what he did something, you know, playing around with nuclear weapons. I don't know, but something's making him come to the table, because the guys like that, political prisoners, foreign prisoners, they're like, you know, chess pieces, these guys. So for him to come back clean and be that nice about it, something's up, something went wrong, but we can only speculate at that.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, this is 75 Radio, and we're here with Jay, and we're discussing these things. You know, Jay, real quick, I just want to bring up a little history.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
All right, we're back. Love that pump music. In and out of the breaks. Love it. Love it. You guys do a great job every week. Every week they do a great job. I'm here with Jay, and we're talking briefly about this little kiss and make up thing with the North Korea and South Korea. And I just wanted to bring up, Jay brought up a good point, that the North Korea guy seems to have something up his sleeve, or he might have something up his sleeve. His turnaround was really quick. What I wanted to bring up was two things in history that stand out with leaders that couldn't stand each other's guts. First one that I remember is Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat back in the 70s. Jimmy Carter brought them together in Washington, shaking hands and, you know, loving on each other and signing peace treaties and all that. And then a short time later, Mr. Sadat got assassinated. So I guess that kind of ended that kind of nonsense. And the most recent one that I can remember is probably some stance was when the 44 hostages over in Iran with the Ayatollah Khomeini, you remember that, Jay? And the Ayatollah wouldn't do nothing with Jimmy Carter. I mean, forget about it. He wouldn't deal with Jimmy Carter for anything. They were I think I'm mistaken on the number 44. They were there 444 days, I remember. So that number stands out. But the Ayatollah would not do anything with Jimmy Carter about releasing these. Jimmy Carter sent helicopters over there and midnight raids over there to try and get these guys out. Some American soldiers were killed in trying to rescue these hostages. Inauguration Day, 1981. Mr. Reagan announced at the president's inauguration ball that the hostages were released that day. You know, so you never know what these foreign leaders got up their sleeve. They do these wacky things. They do wacky things for no reason. I just wanted to bring that up. I have a little bit of history. I've been around a little bit of while. So we did President Trump, Melania. I want to touch up on this Van Jones interview. Now, I know you're with Van Jones. Van Jones did an interview with a fellow named James Shaw. And James Shaw is a young black fella who stop the
wrestled
shooter.
Wrestled the AR-15 from the guy at the Waffle House, right?
That's right. Up here in Antioch, down here in Antioch, Tennessee, not too far from where I am right now. And Van Jones had this fella on, and Van Jones asked this guy, you know, a really, really dumb question. This went viral all over the place. And, you know, most people know Van Jones. You know, this is the kind of stuff he does. He asked the guy, he says, how do you feel about Mr. Trump not calling you? Now, listen, the guy had a great answer. Young Mr. Shaw had a good answer. The president's busy. I didn't do it for recognition. You know, he did it for life preservation, you know, which what most of us would do. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, there's a guy with a gun. Let me stop him so the president will call me. You know, nobody thinks of these things except Van Jones. You know, the guy's a hypocrite. The guy's a... what's the words I'm looking for, Jay?
He's a leftist, communist, provocateur, race baiter.
Ain't that something?
And, you know, and that's exactly what he did. He was trying to make a race thing out of it, and he ended up looking like an idiot about it. And that's a good thing, because Van Jones is about shot out. You know, he brings this guy on, but he didn't even bother to bring the guy on that shot up the, you know, that saved all those people from the black Muslim that was shooting up the church last year in Tennessee. And that kid,
yeah,
did, you know, wrestled a gun and got shot in the process.
Yeah, Robert Engel, he was the usher in the church that day, and he jumped the shooter, and the shooter ended up shooting himself in the chest. And there wasn't no Robert Engel on there. So, you know, it was unbelievable. That, you know, why did he not have this guy on his show, Robert Engel? Is it because he's white? Is it because he's a known conservative? You know, why is it? And, you know, the Van Jones, you know, he has a history, you know, in the past 20 years or so, he has a history of being some kind of a, you know, an activist, a wannabe activist for, you know, the black community. And that's fine. You know, that's fine if that's what he wants to do. But my goodness, he turns everything into a political race war where you don't have a say in anything. You know, CNN, how hard is this guy? And he's on and he doesn't spew nothing but garbage out of his mouth from both sides. Here he is trying to recruit this guy into the left when the guy just saved how many people's lives? 4 people died. He didn't talk too much about the people that got killed, you know, except the fact that this fellow started a GoFundMe page, you know, to help pay for these funerals and stuff for this family, and gives some money to these families that lost their loved ones in this tragic shooting. But Van Jones, just he's another one that's got to go. The CNN's got to take a good look at him. They got rid of Nancy Grace, who used to spew out a lot of garbage and stuff like that. So I think it's time for Van Jones to move on. And, you know, Van isn't his real name, of course, but then again, who cares?
He was involved in the Rodney King riots somehow. I don't know if he got he went to prison for a little while for whatever he did in the riots. I swear he had something to do with the Rodney King riots. And he got way too involved in that, and he went to prison, I think, for a little while for that one.
Did he? Yeah. Well, yeah. Well,
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I swear he did.
Well, I think he belongs in prison anyway. You know, I mean, maybe he needs a taste of his. He was, if memory serves me correct. And most people pull out their phones and start Googling stuff. I try to test my memory, and I try to remember things before I forget them. He was involved with there was a proposition on an election sometime in the past, maybe 10, 12 years ago, and involved involved crime in minority crime, let's call it. I think that's what it was called, was minority. And he was dead against it because he says, you're going to put too many black people in jail. And, you know, not that I'm racist or anything, but it doesn't matter what color you are, my friend. If you break the law and you get caught, you need to go to jail if that's what the penalty calls for. He was dead set against our society putting more and more black youths into the prison system. Now, firsthand, I did 6 years in the joint over the 7-5 thing. But besides that, being white and being in prison is not the thing to do these days. You are outnumbered 100-1. And between the gangs and they bunch up on people, you know, there's a reason for it, Van. There's a reason for it. I don't think this guy needs to take a trip through East New York, where I used to work with Michael and Chicky. And he needs to see from the sideline, not go out there with a microphone and a camera. He needs to see from the sideline, just watch and see why there's so many black youths in our prison system and so many black youths killing each other in our society. You know, he needs to wake up to the fact that there's more crime in these under-resourced communities, as Michelle Obama used to call them, but they're ghettos. There's more crime in these ghettos than ever before, and the black community is not doing anything about it. More and more and more are being killed, killing themselves, but nobody steps up until a white kid shoots a black kid. And that's when Van Jones comes in and turns everything into a freaking racial riot. I just started rambling. There I went again.
Hey, man, it's your show. No worries, man. No worries. But I agree with you.
Okay. Next Radio. Break. We will talk about...
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
All right, we're back. And I have Jay with me this morning, this evening, this afternoon. I say it three times a day because when this thing goes up online and you're listening, you never know what time of the day you're going to be listening to it. We have headline this week was Rosie O'Donnell. Now, you know, I've never been a Rosie fan. I don't know about you, Jay. I never thought she was funny. You know, she was discovered by Ed McMahon, of all people, on Star Search, what, 25, 30 years ago? I don't know when Star Search was on. Was it late 70s, early 80s? And she wasn't that funny. She's from Long Island, Comac, I believe. Strange woman. Ever since day one, she had her own show. She's in a movie. You know, she was on The View. You know, she keeps getting canned from these things. So there's a reason for it. But anyway, Rosie O'Donnell was caught making campaign contributions that exceeded the limit. You know, and apparently they were done online, four or five different names, four or five different email addresses and return addresses and such. It seems it was deliberate. And I guess it's something you can deny that you made a mistake. I didn't know. They could have sent the money back. You know, your thoughts, Jay?
Fat lesbian troll, Rosie O'Donnell.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's
she was caught five times, and she was covering her tracks, so she knew what she was doing. And I know D'Souza, who I don't really care for D'Souza all that much, because I really think his movie's a little off when it comes to the South. But anyway, he did it one time. He did it one time, and he was sent to federal prison for 2 or 3 years. Rosie O'Donnell, no charges will be brought up. She'll walk clean, I bet you. Because she's a leftist. And it's like with Antifa. You know, the Antifa could show up and beat the hell out of people and never get charged with anything. And if they do get charged, they never do any real time and they get away with it. But, you know, we just had a guy from Charlottesville that was trying to, you know, fight off black criminals in Charlottesville to save another older guy that was getting beat up by these guys. And they're charging him with, he got found guilty of malicious intent, battery with malicious intent. And, you know, if you don't have the right politics, you're not on the right side, the government, you know, they'll come after you hardcore. They'll throw the book at you. And Rosie O'Donnell's one of their little pets. You know, the left has these little, I'm not saying leftist people don't go to prison. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying certain ones, depending on what side you're on, when it happens, especially if it's a political thing you get in trouble for, they're their little pets, and they don't ever get charged. She'll never do any time, and if she does, she'll never do any real time.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% right there. She's not going to be charged with anything. You know, it's going to be fought out in the court of public opinion, in the court of social media, and it's going to be, you know, half want it this way and half want it the other way. And unfortunately, the half that want it the right way is never going to succeed. So she's in that group of people who, if Donald Trump gets elected, you know, I'm going to jump off a cliff, or they're going to blow up the White House, or they're going to leave the country. And he's been our president for what, 15 months now? So 16 months, 15 months. And they're still here. They're still here. Their money is here. Their tax shelters are here. Their homes are here. You know, their cash is buried, you know, in the storage unit here. There's no way they're going to leave the country. You know, all these people that said that Trump, if Trump gets elected, we're going to leave. You know, half of our problems would be solved if they really freaking left, because we won't have to listen to them. However, you know, on.
Did I lose you? Did we lose? Are you still there, man? We lose phone reception with you. All right, he must be having a phone issue, so I'll take over till your cue bounces back in. You know, the left is like that. And we've got political prisoners wasting away in prison right now for things they shouldn't be in prison for. And I've mentioned it before, and I'll mention it again. Bill White, I don't care what you think of Nazis, whether you like National Socialists or not, but that guy right now is sitting in prison in solitary confinement. I think he's been there for the past 5 years because, according to the judge, his audience is so inherently criminal that any speech from him that's negative about any person is considered an incitement to violence. That's insane. That is insane. Special First Amendment rights go to him. And you see this all the time. And these leftists don't even know what's coming to them on who are they? You know, the police are looking out for them. You know, if the police would step out of the way, the right would destroy those people. They would just roll over one time. It would be over before people knew it. But the establishment, the government defends them. And, you know, after what they let Hillary Clinton get away with, which was basically treason and then claiming that ignorance, she said, well, I didn't know I was breaking the law. So, well, anybody will tell you ignorance isn't an excuse to break the law unless you're Hillary Clinton. And as far as I'm concerned, the FBI not going and arresting her, picking her up, and, you know, they're just Cosa Nostra with better guns and worse clothes. That's what they're coming back to. Have you picked back up your cue? Are you back in yet? Nope, must still be having phone issues. Either that or I'm having phone issues, and I don't realize I'm sitting here talking to myself. We've got five more to go, I believe, in the Charlottesville case. I know Mr. Goodwin got found guilty, malicious intent to commit battery. And as I understand it, he was saving an older white gentleman that was being attacked by these blacks. One of these blacks got arrested a few months ago with drugs, an assault rifle, and I don't know, something else illegal. And they reduced all his charges down to a misdemeanor, so he's still not a felon, and they let him go. And that's actually quite normal. You know, these guys commit a lot of these crimes, and they roll them right out. And you see these things a lot. And it's
I'm here, Jay. What happened?
I don't know. I don't know if I lost you or you lost me, but I didn't hear you talking, so I just started talking to Phil so we didn't have dead air.
Okay. Well, something happened on the connection here. How far did I get?
You were just, you know, we were just agreeing that, yeah, according to the government, people like Rosie O'Donnell, you know, they're the little pests. She'll never do any real time. She'll never go to prison. And if she ever gets arrested, she'll never actually do any real time, unlike, you know, people that are on the other side of the political spectrum that get the book thrown at them.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think she'll ever do any prison time. I don't even think they're even going to. They might do dust off a little bit of an investigation, but it ain't going to last long. It's not going to go far. You know, she'll deny it. She'll say her legal team did it and they made a mistake and oops, you know, we're sorry. You know, send us the money back. But yeah, there's not going to be any kind of accountability. When I lost contact with you, I was talking about the new political sitcom show that I come up with. Did any of that get on?
I want to hear about this. Please explain.
Okay. I come up with, I'll try to get this in before the break. I try to get in, a follower wrote me about, Rosie being a lump of lard and such. And I took notice that Rosie kind of looks like Lumpy from Leave It to Beaver series. If anybody remembers that from the late 50s, early 60s. And I come up with my own title and my own cast that could probably work out pretty well. I call it Leave It to a Beaver. And I think the casting would be like Madonna would play Eddie Haskell. Of course, Eddie Haskell was a psycho, and Madonna, forget about it. She's threatening to blow up the White House. So that's one character field. Hillary Clinton can play Ward Cleaver. What do you think about that? Ward Cleaver had an office. Nobody knew what he did. And same thing like Hillary. You know, she had an office, but nobody ever knew what she did. That might work. What do you think?
I think that's a good one. I like that. That's a good one.
Okay. Then we got John Kerry can play the role of June Cleaver because he takes it. And Rosie Columbian, Ashley Judd, that she talks about on the JJ all the time, she can play the people.
I love it, man. It would be good.
Week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Getting advice from a teenager is a little unusual, but please listen to me. If you find yourself pregnant and you're scared, I've got some advice because I've been there. My boyfriend wasn't ready to be a father, and frankly, he wasn't all that interested after I told him I was pregnant. My friends told me I should keep the baby because it would be fun. Well, having a baby is about the baby. It's not about whether I have fun. Some people told me my parents would help take care of the baby, but my baby still wouldn't have both a mom and a dad of her own. And that's really important to me. After putting my feelings aside, I made the best decision I could for my baby. Not because I felt it was easy, but because I felt it was right.
Adoption. It's about love.
I didn't give my baby up. I gave her more.
A message from LDS Family Services.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Hey. Want to get back to this sitcom thing just for a minute. I think the sitcom is a good idea. You call it Leave It to a Beaver, and you got an entire, it's female cast, you know, except for John Kerry. Well, it's an entire female cast.
Houston lesbians, okay. Man, I don't know, dude. I don't want you to go on because the way Hollywood is right now, they're liable to actually make that into a show because pretty much that's what you got on TV right now. Cucks, queers, and lesbians. That's what you got.
Yeah.
That's what's on TV.
Well,
It's freaking pathetic.
It's just amazing, you know. My friend Michael Dowd said in the movie, maybe there's some way we can make money from this, and who knows? Maybe somebody will call me up and sign me to a sitcom contract and write some stories. All right, let's jump from Ring Around a Rosie O'Donnell to the dying man out in Arizona. Who's the dying man out in Arizona, Jay?
You are going to have to bring me up to speed because I look.
Mr. McCain.
What?
John McCain. John McCain.
Oh, a guy with a brain tumor.
Yeah, Senator John McCain. He's
Johnny Wetstart.
Not inviting people to his funeral ahead of time. I don't want this one at my funeral. I don't want that one at my funeral. I don't want this one at my funeral. Somebody said on Twitter this morning that 10 years after he's dead, he's still going to be voting Democrat. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I mentioned that I think he's been dead for, 10 years already. And he probably voted for Obama in 2008, 2012, and probably penciled him in 2016. How do you feel about that?
Have you ever heard his nickname, Johnny Wetstart?
No, that's new to me. I haven't.
Okay, did you remember the USS Forrestal, the aircraft carrier that burst into flames in the 60s, caught on fire?
I do remember reading about it, yes.
Well, apparently, if you look into the declassified documents on John McCain that came out a few years ago, John McCain was on the Forrestal. And John McCain, and through his father, who was the admiral at the time, pushed to keep these 2,000-pound World War II leftover bombs just because they made a bigger explosion when they dropped them. Now, the ground crews didn't want to use them because old explosives are just dangerous. Dynamite will sweat nitroglycerin. Old explosives are dangerous. Nobody else could use them. But John McCain, through his father and a few other, hotshot pilots, pushed to keep these 1,000-pound bombs, keep using them. Well, anyway, Wetstart is something that fighter pilots would do whenever, basically, if I was sitting behind you in a jet and you were in front of me and you wet-started your aircraft, it would shoot a huge fireball out the back and, scare the crap out of the guy behind you. Young hotshot pilots used to like to do it. Well, McCain was known for doing this all the time. Well, there he is, sitting in his jet, getting ready to take off, all loaded up with bombs. The guy behind him loaded up, so he decides to wet start his aircraft. Well, when he wet started his aircraft, it set off one of the missiles on the other guy's plane, and that shot into the 2,000-pound bombs, and boom. So the whole Forrestal fire, all the men that died, that whole mess, it was pretty much McCain's fault. And that's why everybody called him Johnny Wetstart. The first person to get off the Forrestal was John McCain. They got him off, before the flames were even put out. They got him off so fast because the whole crew was going to lynch him.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. Nothing like having daddy at the helm then, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And his dad's also involved in the Liberty and that whole mess where the Israelis attacked us for 2 hours. And his dad helped cover that up. Back in 1967, big time. If you see old videos on YouTube, there's people yelling at John McCain, and I thought they were old, like, Forrestal veterans yelling at him, and apparently it's not. It was people mad at him for his father and the stuff that his father would pull as an admiral.
So, but, let me ask you a rhetorical question. If John Boy's dad was such a big shot in the service, how did John end up staying in the Hanoi Hilton for 5 years or so, I've read?
Well, he was a fighter pilot and he got shot down. Sam caught him. He got shot down just like any other fighter pilot would over Hanoi, dropping, doing those attacks.
And the old man couldn't get him out, even with his political influence, huh?
Well, that something like that would have caused too much of a ruckus. The enemy can push themselves so far, but there is a point where we will snap. There is a point where the public will freak out and will do something like, you know, you ever heard of the Battle of Athens?
You got me stumped. That's the second thing I haven't heard about today.
Well, hey, man, if there's something else you want to talk about, just go ahead and I don't have to go into these stories, but this was a rebellion we got involved in 1947.
Mm-hmm. We're going back quite a ways.
Yeah, in 1947, I can't remember. It's a Midwest town called Athens. I can't remember the name of the state. But anyway, these guys get back to World War II, and they realize that the mayor and the sheriff of the town have become the mafia. They're corrupt. They're doing racketeering. They're friggin' putting unnecessary fines on people. So the World War II veteran men that got back started their own little political party, and we're going to vote out the mayor and the sheriff. Well, the mayor and the sheriff on the day of voting showed up to steal the ballot boxes, and they ended up shooting one of the veterans. One of the veterans pulled a gun on the sheriff and said, "You're not taking those boxes." And one of the guys the sheriff had hired, basically be like a mercenary deputized, shot the guy that pulled the gun. Well, the sheriff and the mayor hauled butt to the jail, which is a three-story stone building. And when all the other veterans heard, they went down to the local armory, cleaned it out. They had this, the mayor calls the governor and says, "Hey, you got to get down here. I got a full insurrection on my hands in my town." And the governor says, "Okay, I'll have the National Guard there in the morning. You got to hold out till then." So they're in the prison with the ballot boxes. A shootout happens. All these veterans show up. They have a shootout. Well, finally they realize, you know, they're throwing BBs at a brick building. They're like, "We're never going to get through this with just guns." So they go down to the quarry, they get a bunch of explosives, and they blow the whole front of the jail off. Drag the mayor and the sheriff out, and take the ballot boxes back. And I guess supposedly when the state police and the National Guard showed up the next day, the mayor was like, "Well, are you going to go in there and do anything about these rebels?" And they basically looked at him and said, "Oh, well, we're going to start the next civil war for you, you corrupt idiots. You're done. Too late. Mm-hmm. If you could have held out till morning, we might have helped you, but no." So nobody ever got prosecuted. Nobody ever got arrested. The mayor and the sheriff, I think, had to leave town.
And you know, if my memory again serves me right, wasn't too soon after that where World War II coming home vets started riding motorcycles and started making motorcycle clubs, and hence maybe out of that. Hence,
oh yeah, all the Hell's original biker before. Gangs.
Hence, the Hell's Angels were born. Well, and I can
see
the Hell's Angels,
the Outlaws,
ending up something like that back in the day.
What did you guys have in your neighborhood? Was it Hell's Angels or Outlaws?
Well, when I was growing up on the Lower East Side, when I was visiting Grandma, I told that story. It was the Angels around the corner, and when I was in jail. Befriended some of the outlaws and did some legal work for them too. So, you know, they had some wild stories and some old timers too. It wasn't just, you know, the young bucks that are riding today. You know, they were some old timers too. You know, I've been out of jail for 20 plus years, and some of them guys back then were in their 60s and 70s in for, you know, minor nonsense, but, you know, doing a year or two here, you know, short skids. And they would tell some stories about the 60s and stuff like that. So it was interesting. So yeah, no, I never heard that story, but I could see how private clubs were formed after that for protection and make sure that stuff didn't happen again. So I like that story. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, let's check it out. America, we're the most rebellious of European people. We're European in heritage, but we're the most rebellious of all the Europeans, Americans. We're known for flipping out.
Yep, I got you there. I think I fit the bill. Speak my mind, and if I think something's wrong, I'm going to speak up and let it happen. And, you know, some people tell me I come across as rude, but, you know, how could you be rude by asking a question of you don't think something's correct?
Hey, Yerky, I like you because I know no matter what, you'll show up. You'll be there.
And it's civil right, my man. It's civil right to ask questions. Well, first, yeah.
I want to thank Dave for joining me today on today's program. I hope everybody listens. I hope everybody comes in and puts us up. Tip and Five Radio. Thank you. Have a great week. Talk to you next time.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.